You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about the May budget revise that was released by Governor Gavin Newsom last Thursday. Now I want to bring in Gabe Pedek from the Nonpartisan Legislative Analyst Office, LAO, which just released their initial comments on the governor's May revise. Welcome back.
Hi, Vicky. Good to be with you.
So before we dive into the response to the governor's May revise, just remind us what the LAO is and the role that they play when it comes to the state's budget.
Yeah, sure. We are the state legislature's nonpartisan fiscal and policy advisor. So if people are familiar with the Congressional Budget Office in Washington, D.C., we kind of serve a similar role here for our state legislature. And we generate independent revenue forecasts and analyze the governor's budget proposals on behalf of the legislature. So we work for all the legislators. So as I mentioned, we're a nonpartisan office.
So one of the biggest headlines from the May revise from Governor Newsom and the Department of Finance is that describing the May revision as eliminating the deficit through the 2027-2028 fiscal year. Does the LAO share that view?
Yeah, well, we make a distinction in between the deficit and a structural deficit. And it is true that the governor's budget proposal is balanced for the upcoming budget year and also for the subsequent year. But that's not the same as saying that it's structurally balanced, where the current year revenues are sufficient to support current year expenditures. And it's through a combination of higher revenue estimates, lower baseline spending, and a set of proposed solutions that over the subsequent years, the governor's proposal would shrink the structural deficit. But when we look at this near-term period through the, you know, for the upcoming budget year that the Constitution requires us to address, there's still a fair amount of reliance on borrowing from internal borrowing and use of state budget reserves in order to balance the budget. And so we think that that is less than ideal in a situation where revenues are surging. As Laura was saying, the stock market has really been doing well. And so our tax revenues have been surging, and that's not a time when we should not be fully funding our deposits to the state rainy day fund, and certainly not using them. And that's what's happening right now. And so we think that points to an underlying structural problem.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people might be confused by that. I mean, if the state is actually earning more revenue, and even in your findings from the LAO, from your initial analysis from the May revise, I mean, your estimation of tax revenues in the current year is over 30% growth from just 3 years ago. Personal income tax is up nearly 50% during that same time period. So why are things so tight, and why is the state pulling from the rainy day fund?
Yeah, you know, in your earlier conversation, Laura referred to an expenditure analysis that our office put out a couple of weeks ago. And that really speaks to the core of the issue, which is that over the last several years, state expenditures have really accelerated. And the cost to maintain our existing commitments has well outpaced our what is a sustainable level of annual revenues that we should be counting on. And so those commitments are now in place, and the state is, you know, under current law obligated to fund them. And, you know, the surge in revenues that we're seeing is only just helping us cover them now. And so if we were to have a downturn in the stock market, we would really be faced with a budget problem. And the fact is, when we look ahead and we assume or we forecast even somewhat more moderate revenue growth going ahead, that problem emerges even without the downturn. And so it really goes back to the level of commitments that we as a state have made in the last several years. We went back and looked at this from 2019-20, from that fiscal year, and our general fund commitments in that time period have increased by $100 billion, with about 80% of that just being to sustain our existing commitments. And so, you know, it's a combination of high inflation, growing healthcare costs, increasing populations that qualify for services, all of these things that just cost a lot to sustain. And so that's really putting this longer term pressure on the state budget.
Given that the state budget in California, I mean, it isn't uncommon for there to be these dramatic pendulum swings. But in your response to the May revision that was released this morning, the Legislative Analyst's Office says that the state's current fiscal situation is genuinely unprecedented. How so?
Well, it's unprecedented in the sense that over the last 3 years, the stock market is up by about 75%. And as you said, Vicky, our tax revenues have grown by about 30%. And yet, if we were to just look at our revenue base, we don't have enough to fund our expenditure plan here. That's why the governor's plan really relies on us not making deposits to the rainy day fund. We're continuing in the current year budget to use about $7 billion of the rainy day fund. And if we look over the last 3 years, and you add it up with this proposal, it's about $20 billion in total that we're using from our rainy day fund at a time when revenues are really very strong. I mean, yes, the governor's May revision shows that revenues are up $16 billion from January. But if you go back to last June, when the current budget was adopted, the governor's revenue estimates are actually up by about $60 billion. And yet we're not funding these deposits to the rainy day fund. And so that's what's genuinely unprecedented about it. We have extraordinarily strong revenue growth, and yet we're not able to build the type of budget resilience that we would need for the inevitable downturn.
What did the rainy day fund look like when Governor Newsom took office in 2019 compared to now in the state of California's reserves? I remember when Governor Brown would, you know, reveal his, or unveil like his May revise or January budget proposal, there would be like, you know, a piggy bank, you know, and saving money. I mean, what did the rainy day fund look like, you know, 8 or 9 years ago?
Well, you caught me here on one. I'm not sure if I remember precisely what it was when the governor took office. But what I can tell you is that we are in a much better position than we were going into, say, the Great Recession, where the state did not have a rainy day fund in the way that we do now. Proposition 2 was passed by voters in 2014, and we've built up a substantial rainy day fund. But I would say we had built it to about $23, $24 billion a few years ago, and we've now drawn that down, and it's currently around $14 billion. And so, you know, again, we had built it up to a pretty sizable level, and now we've been drawing it down even as we're in the midst of this boom.
When it comes to the volatility of the stock market, the AI industry, which is booming right now, what is your concern level that things could take a turn for the worse?
We're quite concerned, actually. I mean, if we look at various measures, you know, there's some stock market lingo that people use, but various measures of stock prices relative to earnings. And some of these ratios that people compute are at such high levels that we've only seen this type of level a couple of different times in history. When we look back over 75 years, really, we've seen the ratios at this level, you know, just before the dot-com bust in the late 1990s. And we saw this level in around 2007 before we went into the financial crisis. And so, you know, the run-up that we've seen in the market is benefiting us, but it's not something that we think is sustainable. We can't say exactly when the downturn will occur. That's why, you know, yes, back in November, we had forecasted that revenues wouldn't be as high as they are now. And that's just inevitable because our forecast, any prudent forecaster would not just build in, you know, a supercharged stock market to persist indefinitely. What we're doing is building in the range of possibilities. And so, of course, our estimate was lower than what has turned out to be the case when it comes to the stock market. But at some point, the tables will turn and we could have a serious shortfall in revenues. Back in 2022, the market was down just for a few months by about 20%, and revenues wound up being $65 billion below the prior estimates. And so, you know, if something more akin to the dot-com bust were to happen from the early 2000s, you're talking about a $100 billion revenue shortfall And so that could really create a serious budget problem for the state, of course.
Finally, the LAO serves as the financial advisor to the legislature. So, what is your office's main recommendations to the legislature related to the May revision? We've got about 4 weeks until
Yeah.
this budget needs to be passed and signed into law.
That's right. Well, first of all, I do want to say credit where it's due. The governor's proposal does shrink the deficits, the structural deficits in the future years. Before, they were estimated to be in the range of 20 billion or more. And now, when we look at the multi-year forecast, they shrink to about 10 billion in those out years. So that's very much a step in the right direction. And so we think that the solutions that the governor's proposal includes that help us achieve that, or would hopefully help us achieve that, we think the legislature should retain those and adopt those elements. But we think that the like I said, over the last couple of years, we've used about $20 billion from our reserve fund because of this revenue surge. And we really think, or in the midst of this revenue surge, I should say. And so we really think that that money should be replaced and put into the reserve. We think about building up about $20 billion more into the reserve would be prudent given what we're seeing in the revenue trends. And then finally, we would say, the governor's proposal, you spoke about education. He proposes to underfund the Proposition 98 budget for education by about 4 billion in case revenues come in lower. We would say that's a perhaps a prudent thing to do, but the money should be put aside and held in a reserve to fund that obligation. His proposal would have us spend it on the other side of the budget, and then we'd owe that to education in the future, and that just adds to the structural deficit. So we would say to not do that.
Gabe, as always, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Gabe Pedek is from the Nonpartisan Legislative Analyst's Office, the LAO, which just released their initial comments on the governor's May budget revision. Up next, we'll check in on an important statewide election that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, the race for state superintendent of public instruction. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.